The theme over these summer months is Kings of Summer. And we've been looking over the past 3 weeks at the different kings that came to the throne. And last Sunday morning, Pastor Bill spoke to us about this king, King Hezekiah. Now, there's a little phrase that occurs again and again when a king comes to the throne. And you find it again and again, and it says, he did evil, or he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And very often you find this, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, he did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now remember, we're looking at Judah, King Hezekiah ruled in Jerusalem, and he ruled Judah. Israel and Judah, the 10 tribes in the north, and the tribes of and Judah in the south, were divided after Solomon's reign through Solomon's son Rehoboam. And so they were divided. And we're now looking at the king who ruled in Jerusalem. Hezekiah ruled, and he brought great reforms in. And the reforms that he brought in brought the people of God back, Israel back to the people, back to the Lord again. He smashed the high places. He broke the sacred stones. He cut down the Ashtaroth poles, and he smashed in pieces. Remember, Pastor Bill talked about the bronze snake, the snake that the children of Israel looked to in the wilderness when they were struck down by the plague, and when they looked to the snake, they were healed. But they made it an idol. They made it an idol. And there's a real message in that in another sermon. But there's a message in making something that God has done an idol rather than worship the true and the living God. So Hezekiah, and when Hezekiah died, his son Manasseh came to the throne. Now Manasseh got a good start. But the problem was with Manasseh is it says of him that he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And this is what it says in 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 2. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. So he went back. The reform fell apart at the end of Hezekiah's life, and Manasseh came in, and he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And there's a telling description in verse 9 of 2 Kings 21. It says, Manasseh led them, that is the people, astray, so that they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. He did more evil. So he was worse than the people that were driven out. Israel went, and he reigned for 55 years, years of detestable sin. He shed, the Bible says, much innocent blood. He took the carved Ashtaroth pole and put it in the temple of the Lord. He practiced sorcery. He consulted mediums and spiritualists. Listen to this. He even sacrificed his own son in an offering to Moloch. So he offered his son as a sacrifice to a pagan god. And when he died, his son came to the throne. His son was Ammon. Ammon followed in the footsteps of his father. And when he came to the throne, he only lasted 2 years because his officials conspired against him and they murdered him. But after they murdered him, the people rose up against those who murdered him and killed him. And when they had killed Ammon, they put on the throne this man, Josiah. We're going to look at him this morning. King Josiah. Thanks very much, guys. Thank you. If you've got your Bible, will you turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. And I want you to keep it open because we'll read some verses from there and then we'll go to Chronicles. You remember Pastor Bill said to us last week, when you look at the kings, you find them in 1 and 2 Kings and then you find them in Chronicles as well. So here's what it says there. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidiah, daughter of Adiah. She was from Bozkath. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways, listen, of his father David. That's King David. Of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. Now, as we look at the life of King Josiah, we'll discover this morning many important lessons from his life that if we put them into action in our lives, it will be said of us also, he or she did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And there are a number of lessons that we discover. And as I read it, it struck me straight away. When I began to look at verse number 1, I realized that the first lesson that I learned from this is don't underestimate the influence of one. Let me say that again. Don't underestimate the influence of one. When Josiah came to the throne, he was only 8 years of age. All he had ever known was evil influences in the land. He was just a child. His father was an evil man. His grandfather was an evil man. And yet, it says, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Well, his mother's name was Jedidiah. Do you know what it means? Darling of Jehovah. Darling of Jehovah. And she called this son of hers Josiah. And listen to what it means. The Lord Jehovah will support. The Lord Jehovah will support. Now, do those names, and remember, names are so important in the Bible. Whenever a child was named in biblical times and in that culture, they were speaking something over the child. It was not, this is a nice name to call our child. This was very important. They chose the names very, very importantly. Do you remember when Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken out of the and brought into exile into Babylon? They changed their names. They changed their names for a purpose because the remembrance of their name told them who they were, where they came from, and who their God was. So names are of vital importance in the Bible. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that although he had an evil father, he had a godly mother. And that godly mother poured godly truth into his young life. And I believe that even the very fact that she called him Josiah, which means the Lord Jehovah will support, she was speaking a prophetic word over his life. She's saying, God is going to support you. Now, here's the message for us in this. The message in this is simply this. One can make a difference. One can make a difference. Let me just say a word. I don't know everybody's situation here. But there may be someone here, and you're here, and you're bringing your children up on your own through the circumstances of life. Let me say, don't underestimate the power of one. Because if you walk in God's ways, if you live by example, you can make a difference. Folks, don't underestimate the power of one. Here was a woman who put her life and her godly principles into her young son. Here's the next important thing. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. I just wish the young people were here this morning. Maybe they'll hear it online. But if you're a young person here this morning, let me say, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. Josiah was only 8 years old when he came to the throne, an age that we would regard as a child. But God, the ageless one, was at work in his young life and had a plan and purpose for him to do a great work in the land of Judah, turning the people of Israel back to God. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 34, please. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Listen to this. Verse 3. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. In his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Ashtoreth poles, carved idols, and cast images. Under his directions, the altars of the Baals were torn down. He cut to pieces the incense altars that were above them and smashed the Ashtoreth poles, the idols, and the images. These he broke to pieces and scattered over the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He burned the bones of the priests on their altars, and so he purged Judah and Jerusalem. In the towns of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali and in the ruins around them, he tore down the altars and the Ashtoreth poles and crushed the idols to powder and cut to pieces all the incense altars throughout Israel. Then he went back to Jerusalem. Now, when you look at that, he was either 15 or 16 when he began to seek the Lord. He was only a teenager. But he began to seek the Lord. The influence of a godly mother was now coming to the surface. He began to seek the Lord. I would call this his conversion experience. This was no superficial conversion experience. This was a life-changing experience with the living God of Israel. When he was 19 or 20, he began to clear the land of idolatry. He didn't just send others to do it. He became personally involved in clearing the land of idols and in cleansing the land. And this cleansing of the land reached far beyond Jerusalem to across the nation. Now, there's a real message here for us today. You are never too young to do a great work for God. Amen? You're never too young to do a great work for God. Age is no barrier to the power of God in a person's life. When the Apostle Paul planted a church in Ephesus, having stayed there for a period of time, he decided to move on. He placed a young man in charge of the church in order to see it established and made strong. This young man was Paul's son in the faith. He was timid and at times suffered from ill health. His name was Timothy. And like Josiah, he had a godly mother who influenced him for God. This is what Paul, when he writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy, do you know 1 Timothy is a guidebook to the local church. If you want to know anything about, if you were producing a handbook of running a local church, 1 Timothy is what a lot of the theologians say was Paul's handbook for the local church. And he's writing to Timothy after Paul has left, and he's writing to Timothy because there are some things going on in the church, and he's writing to him, and he says to him, I'm going to kick the offering over in a minute. He says to him a number of things. And here's what he says to him in 1 Timothy 4, verses 12 and 13. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of the Scripture, to preaching and teaching. Folks, let those of us who are older not look down on those that are younger as if we have superior knowledge to them. The reality is, what is needed in the work of God is not man's wisdom, but God's wisdom. And God gives that to whom he will. And he gives it to even the young. And God can use the young in a powerful, powerful way when they surrender their lives to him. Come to that. Let me say this. God is no respecter of age. Age is never a thing with God. All of us, whatever age we are, God can use. It's interesting to know that God started to use Moses when he was 80 years of age to lead the children of Israel. It's important to recognize that. We all have a contribution to make in the work of God. Can I turn you to the next issue? Don't overlook the importance of steadfastness. Listen to this. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidiah, daughter of Adiah. She was from Bozkath. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. He was steadfast. Do you know, I've been reading through the Bible. And I am amazed. I've been reading through with the ESV. And I'm amazed at the number of times that it says the steadfast love of the Lord. Again and again and again and again and again. The steadfast love of the Lord. What does that tell us? God's love is constant. It never changes. It's steadfast. Now it says of Josiah, he didn't turn to the right and he didn't turn to the left. He kept going straight. In other words, steadfastness is so important. Do you know, God doesn't want you to be an up and down Christian. He doesn't want you to be taking detours all over the place. He wants you to keep going. Josiah didn't turn to the right or to the left. He had a job to do under God, and he was going to do it no matter what. Nothing was going to lead him on a detour. He was going to turn this nation back to the God of Israel. And he didn't turn to the right and turn to the left. Can I ask you this morning? Can I ask myself? Have you been sidetracked? Have other things crept in and taken the place of the Lord? Do you know, idolatry, we often think about carved images, but the reality is there's as much idolatry today in our society as there was back then. It's a different kind. Pop music is an example of it. Idolatry. And even in the church, there are many people who think, you know, because my pastor said it, it must be right. And some people worship their pastor more than they worship the Lord. Now, I think we should respect our pastors. But we need to be careful that we don't put people on a pedestal where they're not. Let me go into another thing. Anything that takes priority over the Lord in our lives can become an idol. Is there anything in your life or in mine that is an idol that we need to deal with? Here's number four. The cleansing and repair of the temple. Look at 2 Chronicles 34, if you would, please, and verse 8. In the 18th year of Josiah's reign, to purify the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the ruler of the city, with Joah, son of Joaz, the recorder, to repair the temple of the Lord his God. They went to Hilkiah, the high priest, and gave him the money that had been brought into the temple, which the Levites, who were the doorkeepers, had collected from the people of Manasseh, Ephraim, and the entire remnant of Israel, and from all the people of Judah and Benjamin, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Then they entrusted it to the men appointed to supervise the work on the Lord's temple. These men paid the workers who repaired and restored the temple. They also gave money to the carpenters and builders to purchase dressed stone and timber for joists and beams for the buildings that the kings of Judah had allowed to fall into ruin. The men did the work faithfully over them. To direct them were Jehada and Obadiah, Levites, descended from Mazariah and Zechariah and Meshulam. I wish they would call them Fred or Joe. Wouldn't it be better? Descendants from Kohath, the Levites, all who were skilled in playing musical instruments, had charge of the laborers and supervised all the workers from job to job. Some of the Levites were secretaries, scribes, and doorkeepers. So here he begins. The temple of the Lord and the things of God had been desecrated. They had fallen into disrepair. And Josiah started. And he said, there's been money collected. I want you to give that money. And I want you to restore the temple of the Lord. And so they began to restore the temple of the Lord. Do you know, how does this apply to us? Well, the Bible says that we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Do you know, folks, we need to keep this temple right for Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. We can allow all kinds of things to defile this temple. And sometimes it's just through neglect. You know, I don't know about you, but we're always working at our house. There's always something to do if you're going to keep it right. All you have to do is do nothing, and everything falls into disrepair. And it's true of our lives. If we don't keep our lives right with the Lord, if we don't spend time with God, it'll fall into disrepair. And it will become normal. Normal. I remember many, many years ago going into a home. There's a young fellow and a girl there, and the house was awful. It was absolutely, I don't mean untidy, you know, it was filthy. And they lived in it. I was afraid to sit down. I really was afraid to sit down. But they didn't even see it. It was normal. And you can fall into an experience in your life where you allow things to creep in and you allow the Lord to take second place or third place or fourth place, and you can go on doing all of the things that you normally do that a Christian would do, saying all the right words, singing all the right choruses and doing all of those things, but in your heart, everything's a mess. And we get used to it. We can become lackadaisical in our Christian life and lethargic in our Christian lives. And we get used to it. And there comes a point, like in Josiah's time, where the temple needs attention. And he didn't turn to the right and he didn't turn to the left, but he was steadfast in what he wanted to do. He wanted to see the temple cleansed. He wanted to see the removal of things that should not be there. And it's not up to me to examine you. It's up to me to examine me. Things that need not be there to be removed. So that God... And sometimes that's a struggle, isn't it? But it's a struggle we have to take. The need to repair areas of our lives that have been allowed to be broken down. For our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Here's a powerful thing. I remember as a young Christian reading this, and I thought it was powerful. It was while they were bringing out the money that had been taken into the temple of the Lord, that Hilkiah the high priest discovered a book. We read about it in 2 Chronicles 34, 14 to 19. While they were bringing out the money that had been taken into the temple of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that had been given through Moses. Hilkiah said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan. Then Shaphan took the book to the king and reported to him, "Your officials are doing everything that has been committed to them. They have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the supervisors and workers." Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, Hakali, the priest, has given me a book. And Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. Look at the reaction of the king. When the king heard the words of the law, he tore his robes. In our terms, the high priest rediscovered the Bible. The book of the law, probably the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, the writings of Moses. He found the book of the law. Now, I don't know what that says to you, But that shook me. That the man who was responsible, the high priest, for the spiritual life of the nation, didn't even know where the book of the law was. Isn't that shocking? The man entrusted with the spiritual life of the nation didn't even know where the book of the law was. And when he brings it, he gives it to the secretary, who takes it to Josiah. And when Josiah hears it read before him, he tears his clothes. Why? Because he knew that God would be angry. In other words, he realized how sinful the nation had become. Do you know, folks, remove the book from your life and you're in trouble. You're in trouble. For the Bible, just as it did with Josiah, it brought revelation, it brought conviction and the need for repentance, it brought cleansing, and it brought about a change. Why? Because they discovered the book of the law. Folks, praise God for the Bible. It's our guidebook. Now, could I just stop and say something here? And I know that life is so very busy for all of us. But it is so important that we spend time in this book. And I love Word for Today, and I love all of that. And it has its place in the Christian church. It's a thought for the day. But I want to encourage you. Use thought Word for Today. Yes, use all of those. Yes, certainly, it's part of the day. But set aside a part of the day where you just read God's Word. Amen? Because God's Word, anointed by the Holy Spirit, will speak into your life. You'll be amazed at the number of times things happen in your life and you've already read about it in the Bible. And a good way to do it, just by reading God's Word, if you've got an app, you know, download YouVersion. And you can get all kinds of reading plans. They're not wee thoughts for the day. It's a reading plan of the Word of God. And just spending 20 minutes, 25 minutes, just reading God's Word will enrich your life. It'll enrich your life. They rediscovered the Word of the Lord. It's a real challenge to us this morning. How often do we read God's Word? How often do we meditate on God's Word so that the Lord can speak into our lives? Here's a question. Do you allow God's Word to shape your views and your lifestyle? That's a challenge to us all. The psalmist David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Let me just say very quickly and coming to a close. Josiah inquired of the Lord. He sent someone, he sent his officials, and they went to the prophetess when he had read this book, and he says, "What's going to happen?" And the Lord spoke in to the situation, and he says, "I am going to come against the nation. I'm going to come, but because you, Josiah, have humbled yourself and you've opened your heart to me, I'll not do it in your day." And so Josiah pushed forward with the reforms. In 2 Kings chapter 23, he renewed the covenant of the people of God. He gathered the whole of the nation together, and they made a fresh covenant with the Lord their God. And then he celebrated the Passover. Pastor Bill told us that Hezekiah had celebrated the Passover, but this Passover was so far-reaching that it had never happened for many years, because he instituted every aspect of the Passover. And the people celebrated. So in conclusion, what is the Lord saying to us this morning through the life of good King Josiah? Number one, don't underestimate the influence of one. Don't let anyone despise you because you're young. If God has a work for you to do, he will equip you no matter what your age. Don't overlook the importance of steadfastness. Don't forget the cleansing and repair of the temple, this temple. Don't neglect God's word. If you do like these things, like Josiah, and seek the Lord, then this morning, as we come to, can I put it like this, our Passover this morning. As we come to our Passover. The Passover reminded the people of Israel of the deliverance and salvation of God out of slavery. This reminds us of the salvation and deliverance of God in our lives over sin. Let this be our Passover of celebration. And in doing that, let us examine our hearts. And say, Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, if there are idols in my life, if there are things broken down, if I have neglected areas of my spiritual life, Lord, I repent of it. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And come, knowing the grace of God, we can come and celebrate what Jesus has done for us.